WicklesPickles.com for more information. Wickles Pickles, wickedly delicious. Cecil, how are we doing?
Great. How are you today?
Doing good. I mean, it's the Monday after a long week. You know, have felt better. Might have felt better, a little better if things had gone a little better on Saturday, but that's not what this is about. This is not about football. This is a basketball podcast. So I don't know that anybody should be like extremely like disappointed by what happened in the Bahamas. I thought we would probably go 1-2. We went 1-2. I was kind of hoping that the win would be that second round win instead of over Southern Miss, but
right, three teams came out of there 1-2.
Right.
You know, Iowa State came out 1-2. Oregon came out 1-2 and played pretty well.
Right.
And Alabama came out 1-2. So it's not entirely about that in those tournaments. There were games, including the win, where there were stretches where you'd like to have seen them play better.
But for sure.
I don't know that 1-2, people look at that and say, oh, that's terrible. Well, you get in a tournament like that. I mean,
especially when there's seven good teams in the tournament.
Think about this. You had four top 13 teams in the field. Not one of them was Michigan,
mm-hmm.
who was great, you know, and will be a top 10 team this week.
I saw Seth Davis this morning had them ranked number one and didn't even have them ranked last week.
Right. So that's a heck of a field.
It was.
So 1-2 is not better to go 2-1, better to go 3-0. But that's not the end of the world.
And from a, you know, of the teams that we lost to, you know, in KenPom, North Carolina is number 12, Iowa State's 38. Like those aren't, and both those teams are going to be very high up in net rankings when those come out. So it's not like none of the losses really hurt you. They're all quadrant one losses. So it's not, you know, not the end of the world. I think it was more so, I feel like people were pretty pleased with the effort and how we played against North Carolina. It was just the rebounding and that.
Yeah, knew that that was going to be the problem.
Right.
Going in. Tough size matchup.
For sure. Of course, Garrison Brooks.
With that said, you don't want it to be 60-31.
Right.
You know, you can get out-rebounded by 10, and
right.
That's a more competitive game.
Right.
Getting out rebounded by 29 and giving up that many second chance points doesn't give you a chance.
Right. I mean, they had as many.
Thought they did a pretty good job with Cole Anthony.
They did. Oh, I thought we did a great job against him. It was really Garrison Brooks.
And he's a good player.
He is a very good player, but it was really more so Garrison Brooks that really, I mean, hurt us because they were getting the rebounds. But we had 23 defensive rebounds. They had 23 offensive rebounds. Like, that's never a good recipe for success.
As Nate Oates said, doesn't matter what percentage you shoot, they didn't shoot a great percentage.
Right. You lose by 9, they had 23 second chance points, we had 7.
Right. So points in the paint.
Yeah, points in the paint. 40-28.
Yeah.
So that was really the difference in the game. You know, only a 9-point loss. Respectable. If you just look at it from the outside, it looks very respectable. I thought we played well. I thought we made a nice little run at the end of the first half to try to, it's like an 8-0 run, I believe. But then the second half, we weren't going to win that game with the way.
Yeah, they're
it
just not at their roster's not at North Carolina level.
Right now, for sure. So. You know, Kyra turned the ball over a little bit, and this will be something we'll talk about with the other two games too. Really good game from John Petty. 23, shot the ball well from 3, 7-10 from 3. What I'm hoping is that this was the jump that we're hoping to see from Petty. It kind of started against Furman. And that moving forward, this is going to be the JP that we get every night.
At least from an effort standpoint.
For sure, yeah, for sure.
You can't.
He's going to make 7-10 every night, for sure.
Like you did against Iowa State every night. But I thought his rebounding was his three-point shooting was excellent. I thought his rebounding was really important and good.
He's our leading rebounder right now. Like 7.6 rebounds a game, I believe.
So credit to John for that.
Which, I mean, you could also say, well, maybe we should be getting a few more rebounds from our bigs. But, I mean, John's big. John attacks.
Well, particularly the way Alabama has to play, he's kind of a big.
And there's going to be a lot of long rebounds, too, with the way we play as well. So, now the game that did kind of give me a little bit of pause was the Iowa State game. Actually ended up rebounding better. Actually out-rebounded Iowa State. But a lot of that was because Iowa State was making so many shots.
Right.
And just giving them a lot of really, really good looks.
That was the one game down there where I thought you could really look at the game and say they should have played better defensively.
For sure.
Now Iowa State was knocking down shots, but a lot more open shots.
And we were making it's not like we shot poorly either. We shot the ball pretty well. We shot over 50% the second half.
But I'm 100% in favor of the tempo. But you can't give up 105,
right?
104, 105.
I mean, and they, yeah. It seemed like we got to a good spot. I think it was either tied or might have been down by a couple, and then they go in a 14-0 run.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest about Iowa State. They're good. They're not great.
They're not great. No,
they're not great.
That would have been that was the opportunity, and I said
he's a good guard too. I mean, another good point.
There. Right. I said going down there that I was hoping we'd go 1-2 with a win over a team that was not Southern Miss, and this was the game that I thought we could get it done in. This was the game that I was really hoping you get a W in. It looks a good net win.
Right. You'd still then I guess you end up you're playing Seton Hall.
You might be
1-2 anyway.
Yeah, but, so I'm okay with that loss if it was Seton Hall.
But yeah, it helps your resume more to be playing Seton Hall than it does Southern Miss.
Right. And so we touched on it with the game we just talked about. An even better night from John Petty. Going was 34, but it wasn't just threes. He was taking the ball to the rim. We were ISOing him. He was getting rebounds. Just a really good overall performance.
The turnovers crept back up. One thing I want to say, and some of the feedback, you know how you get the same kind of feedback after any kind of loss, and one of the things that you love, it's the same old thing. No, it's exactly the opposite thing.
Right.
The turnovers are too high. I'm not making that argument, but they're not in a slow tempo half court offense turning the ball over. They're trying to push.
Right.
That's an adjustment for Kyra. He needs to get a little bit better, needs to handle the ball a little better. Mm-hmm. Herb needs to make better passes. But it's not the same thing.
Right.
It's not that you're in a slowdown, deliberate half-court offense and turning the ball over. You're turning the ball over because you're playing fast.
Right.
And Nate Oates is committed to playing fast. They're going to play fast. There's going to be some turnovers. Could they reduce it by 25% and play better? Yes.
It'd be incredible if we were able to do that.
Absolutely. But what it's not is the same old thing. It's a totally different thing.
Right. Yeah, and Petty, you talked about his rebounding. 12 rebounds in this game. We're at 34 and 12. Kyra had 5 assists. I mean, this one, it wasn't like, it was just Kyra turning the ball over too much. It was just Herb turning the ball over too much. Kind of everybody just turned the ball over a little bit. Kyra with 4, Herb with 3. I actually thought Herb did a little better job of taking the ball to the rim in this game. He finished a little bit better. He's been struggling with that some. But it was really the defense was the issue in this game. You can't give up that many open looks. I think Oates would tell you that much. And if you give a good team open looks, they're going to make them.
Yep.
And they certainly did that. So
and they did something that they also did against Rhode Island is pretty good start. You're okay, and then at the end of the first half, and this may be a depth issue in some ways. It goes from being like 5 or 6 at halftime. You have a terrible run, and it's 15 or 17 at halftime.
Right.
And that makes the second half.
You have an insurmountable lead.
A far different proposition.
Right. And, yeah, we tied them in the second half. It was 53-53 in the second half.
Yeah, but you expend energy and you put yourself in that situation. So that was the game of the three that I would say – I would think that the coaches were disappointed in the defensive effort.
Well, yeah, you can't give up. I mean, we gave up 50 points in both halves.
Yeah, and they shot 50-something%. Some of that was their good shooting, and some of it was wide open
shots. They were 51% from three and 52% overall. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't let them have that good of a field goal percentage. So.
Right.
All right, so the last game. There were dozens of people in attendance for this game, it looked like, which I'm just glad we got to freaking play with the –
Sure, needed to play.
Yeah, because that was the same night – wasn't that the night of the power outages?
Yeah.
And so I'm already thinking I got to go to Auburn tomorrow. I'm going to be up until – and I'm not the type that can watch a game and, go right to bed after. I get too amped, which actually I ended up going to bed right after this one. It was okay. But started off on a great, great run, playing really well early. And then just kind of took the foot off the gas
I thought this isn't a team just from a depth standpoint and a tempo standpoint that's built for 3 games in 3 days.
For sure
right
not.
Now,
yeah.
Right now. And so I thought they got off to a great start And then I thought their legs
lost the legs
about halfway through the first half.
Right.
And couldn't make a shot.
Yes.
Had the same shots they had in the first 10 minutes and just couldn't make a shot. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half, fact is they're better than Southern Miss is in a first year. This is not a knock on them, but Alabama's got better players.
Right.
And, you know, Watson for them is pretty good, but that's about it that you'd really want. Or say, boy, that's an SEC player right there. Mm-hmm. And that took over a little bit. And Beadle Bolden made open shots. You got to have a guy, you know, and what they're trying to do when a guy gets good open looks, he needs to knock them down. They need, and, you know, the ultimate destination for Nate Oates' system is to have two or three guys doing that, mm-hmm. where you're just running them out every time.
Right.
And getting open looks. There were some guys who got open looks, I thought, in that game that didn't shoot well. Alex Reese didn't shoot well from three, mm-hmm. and he's capable of shooting well from three. Shackelford looked out of sorts. All three games,
he did not have a good tournament.
His shot didn't look great. He would individually do some good things, but he didn't have a great tournament. But Beadle did what you need in that offense.
And maybe it's Beadle finally getting more healthy, but we finally got to see from Beadle what we had been hearing, you know, about. And I love watching the dude play. He gets after so much effort. He seems like a guy who's easily coached. Like they show Oates talking to him, and he's sitting there going, yes, sir, yes, sir. He seems like just a good kid. And so it was good to see some shots finally start falling for him. I mean, he's leading the team in three-point percentage right now.
He was taking good shots.
Very open.
Squared
yes.
up. Yeah, you know, solid shots.
And while Petty did not have the same type of shooting,
well, they really helped on Petty.
Yeah, they were getting after him, but he still made himself known. I mean, 10 points, 8 rebounds, still in only one turnover. So I thought he played really well, giving a lot of effort, despite the fact that, you know, he only got 4 3-point shots off, which is a really low number for John Petty in a game.
Yeah, this is how good Kyra is. You look at that game and you say, I didn't think Kyra played his best game.
Yeah.
He's got 20, you know.
20 points, 3 assists.
3 assists.
He had a few turnovers to turn the ball over 5 times.
Yeah. Which he needs to, and a couple of those were the true jump up in the air and have nowhere to go with.
Right.
That he
right.
needs to
limit. But yeah, he can get some quiet 20-point games and he's just so good at getting to the rim, and he'll have that, like, you know, 3 or 4 times a game, and it's 5, 6, or 8 points where he just is getting a layup at the rim. So yeah, it was a quiet 20, but 20 nonetheless. So now, after the trip to the Bahamas, we've got what we thought was going to be one of our easiest games on the schedule coming up, and then that team goes and wins at Duke. So I still think this is a game we should win. I'm not sitting here thinking it's like a toss-up or something. But hopefully this does, like, kind of get our guys' attention and say, look, I mean, they went into Cameron Indoor 1. They can even though they're like 220 in KenPom, they can definitely come to Tuscaloosa and win. They've done it in a tougher place before. So, and I really don't know much about Stephen F. Austin. I know they were really good a couple years ago, which is why we scheduled them for a home-and-home. We went out there and beat them last year in, is it Nacogdoches? I get my Nacogdoches or whatever mixed up. But went out there and won last year. That game is on Friday night. KenPom currently gives us an 89% win chance. But they also gave Duke a 99% win chance.
Well, Duke, who had not lost a home non-conference game like that in like 15 years.
Alabama hasn't lost one in 3 weeks.
Right. Alabama hadn't lost one since Penn was here, I guess. So. But it's kind of, you need to win. Got a tough one coming up after that against Penn State.
Really tough one.
Really good Penn State team. So Stephen F. Austin got. I think it's gotten a lot. You know, it's a huge deal. You know, that they beat Duke and so forth, and then there was so much basketball during the week and so many big games and great games. Dayton.
Let's talk about about Dayton going to Maui. Like, that was also, Anthony Grant is playing a completely different style of basketball. And I get that he has dudes, but like, he had some dudes here too. Yeah. And I think he's grown as a coach a little bit, and is real. I mean, they're like top 10 in tempo. I think he's learned that, like, I got to let my guys play a little bit. And Obi Toppin is a freaking dude.
Oh yeah, no, he's a first rounder. That's what that's and
Props to Anthony for finding his two offers were Dayton and Rhode Island.
Dayton, who took Kansas to overtime, I thought Dayton had a chance to win.
Great game.
Great game. You know, March quality basketball. I have no problems with Anthony. I like Anthony. I voted Dayton. I'm an AP voter. I've had Dayton in the poll all year long because I had seen him play and I knew how good Obi Toppin was. But I never thought I would say this about an Anthony Grant coach team. They've scored 80 points or more in every single game.
Yeah.
Every game. Their lowest, they beat Georgia by 20 points.
Right.
And, you know, 80 to 61, 19 points. And they've got some guys, and Toppin is the real deal.
Whereas it seemed like every game that we won under Grant was like 53 to 49.
Yeah. I will guarantee you without looking, there's no stretch of six straight 80-point games.
Oh, God, no. There's not a stretch of six straight 70-point games. Like, no way.
But credit to him, man.
I know, and I find
that's,
I pull
that's what
for
you
him.
Do. You know, that's good coaching. You coach the dudes you got.
Right.
And are comfortable with them. And they've got some good non-conference. They've got St. Mary's left. They've got Colorado left. But, you know, they've got a chance to
make some noise in the A-10.
And what's a pretty good A-10.
Right. It should be a pretty good league this year.
I think so. And, you know, as far as Stephen F. Austin, they had, again,
but you're saying that
hard to get wrapped up here because football's going on, Alabama, Auburn's going on. But, you know, it's nice. Stephen F. Austin was a nice story. Best thing for Alabama in that game is that coming up is that Stephen F. Austin doesn't have bigs.
Right.
They're not 6'9", 6'10", up front. Mm-hmm. And that's better matchups for Alabama. Penn State will be.
That's going to – that matchup is even – with our personnel, it's looking a lot scarier also. CDF Austin on Friday night here in Tuscaloosa. Hopefully we'll have a good crowd. It's Friday night. I would think that we'd have a good crowd, so we don't have to play football on Saturday. I would think that there would be a decent amount of people there. So we'll probably do another one of these, I would guess, next week. Recap the CDF Austin game, preview a little bit about the Penn State game. So we want to thank y'all again for listening to this. Again, y'all have given us some great reviews on there. Have really, really appreciated that. Keep them coming. We've really enjoyed the feedback we've gotten. Hopefully we don't get any negative feedback. We haven't gotten any of that yet.
Got some.
Yeah, just go ahead and give it to us.
Constructive.
You want to tell me that I talk too much? Just go ahead and let me know.
There you go.
Look, guys, we appreciate it. This has been the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's and Wickles.